guys ought to make a CD. Okay. Whose face we're going to put on the cover? Trevor. Put Trevor's face on the cover. Psalm chapter 103. If my voice is a little crackly today, forgive me. Am I on here? Oh, is this supposed to be on? Am I supposed to turn it on? There's a green light. It's on? All right. So if I can't make it through, I'm just going to leave my notes and my Bible up here and call one of these guys to come finish the sermon. So if I see you falling asleep, I'm going to choose you to come preach the message. All right. Psalm 103. I want to preach on a pot full of peas for Thanksgiving. And I read a sermon, a pod full of peas, but I want to preach a pot full of peas for Thanksgiving. David was a very thankful man. He said, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." He reminded us that from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. David was certainly a thankful man, and we see this very much in Psalm 103. Verse number 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth." A pot full of peas for Thanksgiving. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for this time of the year. I'm thankful for the good things that you've done for us in our lives. Lord, I pray that today's message would be a blessing, that it would minister to your people, that it would be an encouraging message, but that you'd also challenge us and convict us about our thanksgiving. Lord, I need you as I stand here in this pulpit. I need your power. I need your wisdom. And I pray that you just give me the liberty to preach your word and that good things would be accomplished because we came together today. Thank you for this college. Thank you for this school. Thank you for what it stands for. You've been so good to us, Lord. I pray that we would worship you now as the word is preached. In Jesus' name, amen. I heard the story of a man who was talking to his live-in girlfriend, and he said to her, "I'm going to go pick up my unemployment check, and then I'm going to stop by the university to see what's holding up my check for my federal ed grant. Then I'm going to stop by and pick up our food stamp card. Meanwhile, you go over to the free clinic and check on your test results. Pick up your new free glasses at the health center, and then go by the welfare department and apply for an increase in our eligibility limit. Then I'll meet you at 5 o'clock at the federal building for a mass protest against our rotten, greedy government. Think about that and ask yourself if sometimes we don't have the same attitude towards the things that we've received. When George Washington issued the first presidential proclamation, he said these words: "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will." That's a U.S. president saying that we need to obey God's will. When's the last time you heard a U.S. president honestly say we need to obey God's will? They use God's name only out of tradition, but they don't use God's name this way. Continue, "and to be grateful for His benefits and humbly implore His protection." I'm thankful for what's going to take place this Thursday, but I want to ask you a question. Should we have to have a holiday on our calendar to remind us to be thankful to Almighty God? I recently read that the words gratitude and grace have the same root word meaning. They come from the same meaning. They go together. And so if you've experienced the grace of God in your life, what naturally ought to follow is gratefulness. You breathe His air. You enjoy His bounty. I heard the story of a little schoolboy in school. He was given the opportunity to express thankfulness for something. And this was back in the day when you wouldn't hit a guy if he was wearing glasses. And he wore glasses. He said, "I'm thankful for my glasses because they keep the boys from fighting me and the girls from kissing me." He had eye defect, okay? Bad eyesight. But ask yourself, can you praise God for the little inconveniences of life too? Turn to Romans chapter 1. Too often in this country, we take our comfortable homes, our healthy children, our luxuries for granted. Romans chapter 1, we're going to look at verse number 21. Romans 1, 21, "because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Neither were thankful. Turn to James chapter 1. Good gifts don't come from Santa Claus. They come from our Savior. James chapter 1, verse number 17. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Now in algebra, I'm not a math person at all, but a variable is something that can change. It's not always constant. The Bible here is saying that with God there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now this Thanksgiving, most of us will see pots on the stove. Your mom or some other good lady will break out the big pots for the meal and start cooking some good stuff. And they'll throw a little of this, a little of that into the pot, and something delicious is going to come out. I want us to look inside of David's pot, and I want us to look at his peas in his pot, and I want us to look at what would make him so excited in Psalm 103. First of all, the purging of sins. That's the first P we'll throw in the pot. Because as we look at Psalm 103, verse number 3, the Bible says, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities." Purging of sins. Aren't you glad that God forgives us of our sins? How often do we stop, though, to praise Him for the forgiveness of our sins? Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. I think we're tempted to forget everything that He's done. A few days ago, I walked out of the house with a stain on my shirt, and I forgot that it was there. You know, sometimes You look at a shirt and say, can I get a second or maybe a third wearing out of this shirt? And I thought, maybe you don't, but I do. I thought, man, I'm going to wear this shirt again, but I forgot there was a stain on it. And then I got out in public and I was embarrassed. Do you remember your stain? Do you remember what he's cleansed you from? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. That word means self-control. And to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. God does not want us to forget that we've been purged from our old sins. Now, before I got saved, I was a thief. I was a huge liar. I was a punk. You saw my picture, I think. I was a punk. I wanted to be cool. I wanted to be worldly. I grew up in the projects. And I was headed down the wrong path. And God cleansed me of my sins. He purged me. And I don't ever want to forget it. I drive back to the place where the projects used to stand every once in a while. They've torn them down. And I'll just drive through where my building stood. And I'll just think all the memories will come back of that bus coming through week after week, picking me up, and God just working on my heart. And I got saved, and he cleansed me of my sins. Don't get to the point in your life where you've forgotten that you were purged from your old sins. And so that's the first P in the pot. Purging of sins. Secondly, I want us to look at the preservation of our bodies. The preservation of our bodies. The second P in David's pot relates to the body of the believer. Look at verse number 3 in Psalm 103, where it says, who healeth all thine diseases. Who healeth all thine diseases. He made the human body to heal itself. That boggles my mind. It really does. That we get sick, we get colds, we get flus, and typically what happens? We get better. Now there isn't an evolutionist on earth that can give us the reason for that outside of God, who healeth all thine diseases. How many of you have ever been sick? Now, I'm going to ask another question. I don't want you to raise your hand, but I want you to answer the question in your heart. How often is it that you get over that sickness, and when you get over it, you stop to thank God for making you better? We should thank the Lord for making us well after sickness, but we should also thank God when we're well, because we're well, just because he's keeping us that way. Who healeth all thine diseases. If you're healthy today, if you're healthy, do you praise the Lord for it? You see, it's easy to complain of not having a pair of gloves until you meet the man that doesn't have a pair of hands to put in the gloves. Follow your pastor to the hospital, and you'll leave praising the Lord for bodily strength. Made a hospital visit, a nursing home visit rather, on Saturday. I think a 90-year-old man who's set to die, the doctors tell him 3 to 6 months is all he's got. And the man's not saved. His daughter's a member of our church. And he said, I believe in God. He's got his mind. We had a good discussion. He was very friendly. He said, I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus. I stopped believing the Bible a long time ago. And I'm going to die. I am here. He said, he looked me right in the eye and he said, I'm dying. and I'm just waiting for it to happen. I don't even care anymore. How dare we not thank God for bodily health if we've got it? And as you sit down to eat at Thanksgiving, be thankful for your health. Be thankful for your taster. No, not really. God could have just made us to where we just ate food mechanically because we had to stay alive. But he didn't just make us that way. He made it so that it would taste good. Listen, we ought to be thankful for our taste buds. Believe it. And eyes to see the bounty on the table. What a good God. In our church, we've only buried one member in 5 years, and none who have faithfully served in our church have died. I don't know if he's preserving us for the rapture, but he's preserved our lives. He's taken care of our bodies. And we ought to be thankful for that. We have a girl that her brother is a member of our church, and she has a very serious illness. A couple girls, actually, in our church with very serious illness. One has Proteus syndrome. I don't know if you've heard of that before, but it's the elephant man disease. And her body's all deformed. She's just a little girl. I don't think she's 11 years old, but just all deformed and you know, fingers this long and can hardly walk. And you better be thankful. An old miser grumbled one time, "I don't have to thank anybody for anything. Everything that I've got, I got it the hard way, through the sweat of my brow." His neighbor asked him, "But who gave you the sweat?" He hung his head in silence because he couldn't ignore the fact that God gave him the sweat. In other words, the strength to work to gain the wealth in the first place. And as we celebrate Thanksgiving, don't forget to thank God for the sweat. Third, the protection of our lives. Third pea in the pot, the protection of our lives. Verse number 4, Psalm 103, the Bible says, "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction." Have you ever stopped to thank the Lord for protecting you from the close calls in life? Things that you might not even know were about to happen to you that by God's grace didn't happen to you. I was driving to my aunt's house on the other side of town a couple weeks ago to take her grocery shopping. And I was driving there and I heard on the radio that right where I was about to drive, there was a fatality accident. And you know, the thought went through my mind, that could have been me. And we could have been in all kinds of accidents. Accidents that would have folded our cars up like accordions. But God has protected our lives, and he's kept his angels busy guarding us. Daniel was a thankful believer, and I believe that's one of the reasons God spared him from the lion's den. Got to go over to Zambia this past August, and that plane ride, you know, storm-tossed sky, however many thousands of feet up in the air, but as I was in that plane, I could drift off to sleep, trusting the Lord to get my wife and I safely to our destination while others around me seemed unnerved, just frightened and full of unrest. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? The Bible says it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Again, the Bible says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. That word loving kindness stuck out to me. A little child was asked, what's the difference between kindness and loving kindness? This is what he said. When my mama gives me bread and butter, that's kindness. But when she puts jam on top, that's loving kindness. Praise God that he puts some jam of his loving kindness on our lives. Fourth, as we look at that pot, it's beginning to boil. Something's about to happen. We're going to throw another pea in there. The pleasure of our days. In verse number 5, The Bible says, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. He satisfies us with good things. And some of you guys are like, yeah, I'm waiting for my good thing. Not just that. Psalm 84:11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. God is not just interested in our needs, but even in some of our pleasures. And he's interested in us having pleasure of days. Our God does not want us to be miserable. The Bible says he is the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. The little things. Pleasure of days. How about heat in the winter? Isn't that a blessing? Now listen, we read of these men and women in the Bible, they didn't have that. When it got cold, they just had to bundle up more. Start a fire. God's given us heat. Now, I don't want to be crude, but indoor plumbing, isn't that a blessing? They didn't have it back then. The little things. Pleasure of days. Air conditioning in the summer. Christmas vacation. Thanksgiving. Summer vacation. Candy sale checks. Aren't those a blessing? Cars. Laptops. Somebody gave you a suit. Somebody gave you a dress. Pillow that we sleep on. Praise God for the pleasure of our days. That we don't just exist, but God is interested in us having some pleasure. That's another pea in the pot. Then it says in verse 5, also, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, sin is hard on the human body. You can look at somebody that's living their life for the devil, and they can be 40 and look 60. But listen, the reverse is true. I'm seeing this right now in our church. People that have lived, I'm thinking of one person in my mind right now, lived a life of indulgence and wickedness and sin, and they got saved. And God's cleaning up their life. And I lie not to you, this person looks 10 years younger. So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. We should praise him for the pleasure of our days. If we withhold our praises, he might rightfully withhold our blessings. The fifth pea in the pot, the patience with our blunders. Look at verse number 8, Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. The Bible says in verse 9, he will not always chide. What does it mean to chide? Be angry with. Be cold towards. He will not always chide. Neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And if God would reward us according to our sins, how many of us would be left standing? Not a one. He knows our mistakes. He knows our blunders. He knows our sins. And yes, he will punish. Yes, we reap what we sow. But God is still so good, even when we fail him. He knows about your rotten attitude, and he's merciful. He knows about your hot-headed temper, and he's merciful. He's slow to anger. And by the way, the fact that he's slow to anger and is very patient with us should encourage us to be patient with other people when they blunder, when they fail, when they falter. That he would save us in the first place. We were dead in our sins. And now we're alive unto him, and we get to someday enjoy heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we fall flat on our face. I mean, boom! The Bible says, I'm not making any excuse for sin. None. But when we do, praise God, there's an advocate. Praise God, there's a go-between with the Father. Don't forget the peas in the pot. And then last, I want to give you the last pea in the pot, and that's pity in our weakness. Pity in our weakness. Look at verse number 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Like as a father pitieth his children. And I really believe that you've got to be a father to completely understand that. Like a father pitieth his children. We've had some flu flying through our house. Man. And I'm getting over it. And my daughter Lois is getting over it. And Justine. And I got little Justine, my little three-year-old, walking around the house, whole face full of snot. And just miserable, congested. And my daughter Lois, you know, she really likes to play it up. Oh, Daddy, can you take care of me? And what she means by that is, can I put, you know, a cool towel on her head? Can I tuck her in? Can I give her a little throat spray? All, Daddy, can you take care of me? Now listen, that tugs at a father's heart. It does. When you look at your little three-year-old, or 4-year-old or 6-year-old, sick, hot fever, miserable, in pain, that tugs. I have that pity as a father. The Bible says that's how God pities us, in our weakness. How glad we can be that he expresses pity for our weakness. Now, that doesn't mean we throw a pity party for ourselves. You do that, you're the only one that shows up to the party, right? What does it mean? Yeah, I do have it bad. No, it means we praise him. That's what the psalmist is saying here. Praise him anyway. Praise changes things. So instead of grumbling and complaining, maybe your holiday already isn't going right. Maybe there's something happened that's going to stop you from being able to do what you want to do or what, I don't know. Instead of grumbling and complaining, try praising him and thanking him. We're commanded to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known unto God. Turn to Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3. When trials and difficulties abound, we can and still should praise God. He pities our weakness, yes, but we need to learn to praise him even when our flower fails to bloom. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse number 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Now again, the prophet here is saying, it's been a bad harvest. There's no fruit on the vine. There's no blossom. The olive is failing. There's no meat. There's no animal in the stall. Yet will I praise him. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. That's your pot. Got all the peas in there. Let it boil. Serve it on a plate. Enjoy them. And have a real Thanksgiving. Psalm 103 style.